I'm Marty Moscoane. Welcome to Radio Times. Lost in the back and forth about what President Trump said to the widow of Army Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, who was killed in Niger earlier this month, is what was Johnson and the three other U.S. Special Forces soldiers who were also killed doing in that part of Africa. We're learning more about the details of the attack, but many were in the dark about the mission until last week. Here's Senator John McCain on The View yesterday. He chairs the Senate Armed Services Committee.
Americans should know what's going on in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Should know what caused the deaths of four brave young Americans. Mm-hmm. Should know what kind of operations we're engaged in. And one of the fights I'm having right now with the administration is that Armed Services Committee is not getting enough information.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve it because we represent their families, too.
We asked Richard Downey to join us. He's deputy director of the Africa program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Before that, he worked as a journalist, including at the BBC, and he joins us from Skype. Richard Downey, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
Joseph Dunford, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, held a press conference yesterday to talk about at least what they're willing to share with us about what happened in Niger just about a month ago, or certainly 3 weeks ago. Did we learn anything new?
Not really. The most striking thing from that press conference was how just the very basic details of what was going on this tragic mission on October 4th. We still don't know. Joseph Dunford said that these four soldiers were on a routine reconnaissance patrol, that they were working alongside troops from Niger when they came under attack. But a lot of the basic information remains very unclear.
And American troops have been in this part of the world and in this country for some time now. Do we know how long?
Yeah, well, U.S. troops have been entered a more active phase on the African continent in the last decade, and that was since the stand-up of the U.S. Africa Command, a sort of geographic combatant command that was set up 10 years ago now to cover the whole of Africa. And Niger is has become a focus of operations, mainly training and trying to professionalize the security forces in that country. And we're told that there are now about 800 U.S. troops operating in Niger, which I have to say was quite a high number. It took me by surprise.
That surprised you, even though you're deputy director of the CSIS Africa program?
Maybe a gap in my knowledge, but certainly, you know, they're performing a variety of roles there. You know, this is a tough neighborhood. There are a lot of active Islamist terrorist groups and militia in the region. But U.S. troops are being deployed there in a training capacity. But also in basic things like securing and protecting U.S. At the U.S. Embassy and other buildings. Also building right now a drone base, a second drone base actually for the U.S. in Niger so that they can conduct better surveillance of the whole region.
And who's the target or who's the enemy, if that's the correct word?
So it's a sort of grab bag of different groups. Al-Qaeda has and its affiliates have been active in the region for more than a decade, originally sort of from their home in Algeria. But the problem has sort of moved southwards and Niger is immediately south of Algeria. Really, these groups take refuge in places where there are loose controls and weak security forces and perhaps the reach of the government is fairly weak. Well, Niger and its neighboring countries in the Sahel, the sort of band of countries immediately south of the Sahara, fit that bill. So AQIM, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, has been active there. And also Islamic State now is trying to establish a presence in some of these countries.
And we're talking about the use of special forces in this part of Africa and I guess in other volatile parts of that continent. Why special forces?
Well, special forces can get into places that regular troops are less able to do so. They are specialists in some of the kinds of training events that are being conducted with African counterpart militaries right now. They do these things called joint combined exchange trainings. And so they are sort of out there and active and involved at sort of the hard end of the fight against these terrorist groups.
Is there any way to know whether we're winning or not? I mean, clearly four Americans were killed in early October, but broadly speaking, are we making progress in that part of the world?
The short answer is no. You know, it's when AFRICOM was first stood up 10 years ago, there was one recognized terrorist group in this region. There are now a proliferation of them, perhaps 20 plus. But the central mission of AFRICOM in Africa is to train and equip and professionalize African militaries so that one day they can these countries can take charge of their own security problems. We've seen little flickers of progress in some parts of the continent. For example, in the Gambia, right on the corner of West Africa earlier this year, a combined force of militaries from neighboring states helped to remove the president there, who had illegally stayed in office. So there are you know, little signs that African militaries themselves are starting to take the lead, but certainly those are probably exceptions rather than to the rule.
I'm actually thinking of East Africa, and President Obama sent in special forces to try to find Kony, the Lord's Resistance Army leader. This was in Uganda. Have they found him? Do we know anything about what that mission is about?
No, Joseph Kony remains at large, the head of the Lord's Resistance Army. This is a particularly violent, brutal insurgency group that's been active initially in Uganda, as you say, but has now spread to neighboring countries in the Great Lakes region. The U.S. Launched a mission to support local military forces in their effort to eradicate the LRA. They've succeeded in reducing the numbers of active combatants in the LRA. They're thought to be fewer than 200 now, but they failed to get the main man, Joseph Kony, who remains at large.
Why is this so difficult?
Well, I think it's partly the terrain is incredibly difficult. This is a very, very hardened small group that is very nimble, knows the terrain very, very well. But I think the chief difficulty is that, you know, these missions can only succeed if African militaries themselves are willing to take the lead. And in the case of the counter LRA mission, the countries that are involved in the mission just aren't sufficiently invested in it. And that's why the whole thing has sort of fallen apart.
Let me play something that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford, said yesterday. This was at a press conference talking about what happened in Niger.
In our judgment, we're dealing with global threats in Al-Qaeda, in ISIS, and other groups. And the theory of the case of our strategy is to be able to put pressure on them simultaneously wherever they are. And as importantly, to anticipate where they will be and to make sure that where they are and where they will be when they get there, they're confronted by local security forces that have the ability to meet the challenges associated with Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other groups. And so we are working with partners on the ground in West Africa. We are working with partners on the ground in other parts of Africa. It's the same thing we're doing in Iraq and Syria, and it's what we're doing in Afghanistan.
I'm thinking about Senator John McCain basically saying I and other members of the U.S. Congress have been unaware, I guess, about the level of involvement in dealing with the threats of terrorist organizations. Is that surprising? Does that surprise or even shock you?
Yeah, it's quite surprising as someone who studies Africa and has seen this is not a new phenomenon. You know, AFRICOM has been around for has been around for a decade now, and you've seen a steady increase in the U.S. troop presence in the African continent throughout that decade, up to about sort of 6,000 U.S. personnel in the African continent at any one time or other. So, okay, when you compare that with Iraq, Afghanistan, that's a very small number spread very thinly across a huge continent. But nonetheless, it's a significant investment. And it's when you look at other arms of the U.S. government, which are being depleted in terms of diplomatic assets and development assets, that's a very significant mm-hmm. presence in the context of Africa.
Is there a country in Africa where there seems to be progress on this issue?
Well, it's difficult because I think, you know, the areas of progress are where you have an invested partner. You know, there have been times where there's been progress in Somalia, where Al-Shabaab, the terrorist group, has occupied large stretches of territory. What the progress there has been down to U.S. and European Union support and training for African peacekeeping troops to go in and do the fighting and keep the peace. And they've made some progress there, although there have been very significant reversals lately. Similarly, if you go across to Nigeria, there's been a Boko Haram, this group having an insurgency there, which has now been sort of internationalized as it's hooked up with Islamic State and Al-Qaeda. There's been some progress there in sort of beating back the insurgency. And again, it's largely down to efforts to get the regional militaries in the neighborhood to sort of take the fight to Boko Haram.
Let me quote something that Senator Lindsey Graham said last week, and this is quoting, "The war is morphing. You're going to see more actions in Africa, not less. You're going to see more aggression by the United States towards our enemies, not less. You're going to have decisions being made not in the White House, but out in the field." How do you interpret what he said?
Those comments alarmed me. They struck me as a mission creep. What are we actually doing in these countries? It's fine to be doing training and trying to professionalize troops. But if you suddenly are taking the fight to some of these groups, which let's face it, do not present a threat to national security, at least homeland security here in the United States, then there's reasons to be concerned here. There's always a risk where it's important to remember that a lot of these groups are rooted in domestic grievances. And only latterly have they, for reasons of opportunism and perhaps funding, align themselves with either IS or Al-Qaeda. There's always a risk that the U.S., by inserting themselves into these disputes and these insurgencies, sort of internationalizes and blows up these conflicts into something that they weren't originally.
We're almost out of timer, so what should we be doing if not this?
I think there just needs to be a lot more caution in how we get involved and what we do. And most importantly of all, you cannot have a policy towards Africa which is driven by security concerns. You have to have diplomats on the ground. You have to have development workers on the ground. You cannot the face of the United States in Africa cannot be a soldier. It has to be a someone else.
Well, Richard Downey, I appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Joining us by Skype, he is Deputy Director of the Africa Program for the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And after this very short break, we'll be talking with Larry Krasner. He wants to be District Attorney of Philadelphia. He's the Democrat. I should say yesterday, Beth Grossman, the Republican candidate, was our guest. Much to talk about. Stay with us. We'll be right back.